faith and trust in the Lord if we didn't have times of darkness, times of despair. But in the midst of those, God always shows Himself in a mighty way. And that's why we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. So John chapter number 10, here in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is speaking to all those who are around Him. You can see that in verse number 1. Verily I say unto you. Now who's the you? But we kind of have to go back there in chapter number 9 and kind of get an idea of what's going on. In chapter number 9, you can see in verse number 5 in chapter number 9, it says this, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. So there's this blind man, and he was lived in darkness. And you and I had the same testimony before we got saved. And we lived in darkness, to praise the Lord, for the day Jesus came by. Amen. Changed our life. And that day, Jesus walked by this blind man. He made some clay in the dirt with a spittle, placed it on his eyes, and the blind man could now see. Things were great. He sent him on his way. And the blind man went away, washed and seeing, the Bible says. Well, the Pharisees, they didn't like what had happened. They got offended by all of this, and they tracked him down and asked what in the world was going on. And verse number 25, the blind man responds in chapter number 9. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. Because they were trying to figure out who did this. But the blind man said, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. He said, I can't explain it all, but I know the change that he made in my life. Well, they got mad at that. They got really upset at this and started talking how that no one can forgive sins, only God, and got very offended at all this conversation. And in chapter number 9, verse 34, it says there, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? He got mad because he rebuked them. And the Pharisees, it says, and they cast him out. They kicked him out. Kicked him out of the temple. Kicked him out of fellowship. Kicked him out of, in the Jewish life, a way to make a living. If you were kicked out, you had no life. Probably would die starving and begging. So the man went across, and obviously this was heartbreaking. Talk about a roller coaster ride. He started the day blind, met someone who allowed him to see, didn't know how it happened, was just that glad with the change that was made in his life, but now the Pharisees rebuked him for it and kicked him out. Now his life has gone back down. But the Lord knows this. I do want to read these verses in chapter 9. It's not the text yet, but you're getting the background. Verse number 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. When he found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him. That's an awesome thing right there, right? Stop and think about who he's talking to. You've seen him, it's he that talketh with thee. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. This blind man, the change was made in his life. He's worshiping the Lord. Jesus says some closing remarks here. And then in verse number, he rebukes the Pharisees in verse 39. You can see in verse number 40, some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said, you were blind. You should have no sin, but now you say we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Now for the Pharisees, ouch. I mean, they lived their life sinless. They were the Pharisees. They kept the law. And then he just looked at him and said, yeah, you're sinners. Then chapter number 10, verse number 1. Now we get to our text. So you see who he's talking to. There's a blind man. He's been healed. Family's there. Great crowd had gathered. This miracle would happen. The Pharisees are red-faced, angry, mad, standing there. Then he gives this in chapter number 10 and in verse number 1. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he gathereth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them. They understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. I pray that you would open it up to us this morning. God, I humbly ask you, Lord, just to use, Lord, my thoughts and my word and my tongue. I surrender it to you. Lord, I want to be right with you. I don't know anything that between us, and Lord, if there is, may the Holy Spirit bring it before me now. Lord, I ask you, Lord, just to please bless this time around your word. I pray that you just put a holy hush about this place. Lord, our thoughts and our minds are in many different places this morning, I know. But God, would you and your Holy Spirit captivate us this morning? May every teenager, every adult listen closely to the Word of God these few minutes. Teach us now. In your name I pray. Amen and amen. In this passage of the Scripture, Jesus, again, he speaks to these Pharisees. He speaks to this group that had gathered there. And there's many false teachers around. And when he gives this parable about the sheep, without a doubt, especially these Pharisees and all the Jews would have thought back to the prophet's words about Israel being the sheep. And there's many different passages they could have thought about, one of which is Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. I'll read this to you real quick if you want to turn there. But Jeremiah chapter 23, this is the kind of verses. Verse number 1, the prophet Jeremiah said, Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. So the prophet prophesied that these false teachers had risen up in Israel, and because of the apostasy, that Israel would be scattered. And they were, just as Jeremiah prophesied. They were scattered, they were conquered, but the Lord prophesied that I will gather them again. I will come and I will gather them again as sheep, and that's exactly what the Lord is doing here in John chapter number 10. He's coming and he's presenting himself as the good shepherd. He's presenting himself as the one. And these Pharisees, you see, who are they in this parable? They didn't understand it. The Bible clearly says they weren't understanding what he said. So he gets more specific and even more as the chapter goes on. But basically, Jesus is saying, these Pharisees, they're the thieves, they're the robbers. They're the false teachers Jeremiah prophesied. They're the ones that the prophet said was causing the problems. And he says, they're the sinners. These false teachers. But Jesus said here in this passage of Scripture, he said, I am come. And you'll see there in verse number 1, says, Verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, same as a thief and a robber. He said, there's many false teachers out there just trying to take from you, but there's only one that came to you the correct way. Now, what is the correct way? Just as the prophet said, that he'd be born of a virgin, he'd be born in Bethlehem, and I could go on and on and on. Jesus came just exactly as was prophesied he would come. Amen? And then in verse number 2, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. This one who came the right way, the one who came the way that was prophesied would come, he is the one who is to be the shepherd of the sheep. Jesus was claiming to be the prophet, the promised Messiah. And then in verse number 3, to him the porter openeth. He said, the one, the real shepherd that will come, he'll be announced. He'll be presented. And Jesus was John the Baptist. He came. He was the forerunner of Christ. He presented him as being the one, the Messiah, the Christ, the Lamb slain before the world. But he says, goes on, it says, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. He said that the sheep will know, they'll recognize, this is the one. And the Lord says, I am that person. But our text, and what I want to look at here in verse number 7, it says, then answered Jesus unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. In verse number 9, he says that phrase again, I am the door. I want us to consider today why the Lord referred to himself as the door. As the door. Now, immediately our mind probably goes in some different directions, but I want us to consider this, why he would refer to himself as the door. It's not, you know, we have quite a few doors in the auditorium, you know, take them in. Nice, all right, good. Good job, way to take them in. All right, good, all right. There's doors, and let's consider now why the Lord would refer to himself as the door. And I wrote down a couple things. Number one, a door gives access. A door gives access. If it wasn't for the door, if we removed our doors this morning, we'd be trapped. A door gives access. If there weren't doors on the outside of this building, you wouldn't have gotten in today. A door gives access. Now, that's a simple thing, but it's the truth. Jesus said, I am the door, and there's a reason for that. Because he is the only way, the only access by which we can go to heaven. In John chapter 14 and verse number 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the door to heaven. If you're here today and you're trying to get to heaven, and I've rarely met very few people that you know, says, I have no interest in ever going to heaven. I mean, most everybody at least would desire to go to heaven if they have any type of faith at all. You know, they're thinking, well, if there is one, I want to go there, all right? But sadly, there's many people who are trying to get there on their own terms, on their own way, trying to do it through their own reasoning and through their own works. But the fact is this, there is only one way to heaven, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the door to heaven. And the fact is this, if you're trying to be a good person, if you're trying to work your way to heaven, if you're trying to say, well, I can someday, you know, God will let me in because of who I am, and I know who I'm preaching to this morning, I know that most everybody in this auditorium has professed the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Praise God for that. To God be the glory for it. But I also know that I sat in church for 14 years, and I was afraid to make a move, and I was afraid to make a decision, and I thought that, well, I know who my grandpa is, I know who my dad is, I know all these things, but I never made the decision for myself to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior until the time I was 14. Just this past week when we were up in Dayton, I left there at the hospital where my grandpa was, and I was driving up to meet our school. They were having a basketball game in Dayton that night, so I was driving over there. I had a few extra minutes, so I drove by 644 Maple Hill Drive, West Carrollton, Ohio. Now that means nothing to you, but I stopped and I took a picture of it, and I have it there on my phone. I can show it to you if you want to see it. Say, what's so special about that? Absolutely nothing other than the fact that in that back bedroom where the window was is where I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I stopped and I looked at that house, and I thank God for the day that I chose to put my faith in the Lord. And someone lives in that house, and I have no idea who it is. But I'm thankful that there's the place that I stepped through that door. That I realized He is the way to heaven. That I stopped and realized how much Christ had done for me. How that He had given Himself and died upon the cross. Why? Because the wages of our sin is death. You and I deserve hell. I don't say that flippantly. That's what we deserve. None of us, by our own works of righteousness, can attain anything but the condemnation of God. But praise be to Him who came and went to the cross of Calvary, and He shed His blood on that cross, and He died for us there on that cross. But I'm glad that the story doesn't end there. They laid Him in a grave, but 3 days later He arose from the grave. He conquered death. He overcame the curse of sin. And now we can have His life, eternal life, by trusting in Him. But He's the door. I'm not being, you know, I know this is humorous. I know it will appear that way. But I hope you see the seriousness. I just, of what I'm talking about. If I wanted to step outside right now and out there, right, is heaven. There's only one way for me to step right out there. And that's through the door. Jesus is the door. Amen? The day at 14 when I asked Christ to forgive me and I recognized that He is Savior and I said, Lord, I put my faith and trust in You, I stepped through that door and I was given eternal life. If you're sitting there in any other way today saying, well, I got baptized, or I'm giving money, or I'm trying to be a good person, or my family's always been good, and I surely God's going to let me in, you have about as much hope of going to heaven as I do getting outside trying to walk through this wall. It doesn't happen. All you're going to do is find yourself hurting. All you're going to do is find yourself frustrated. All you're going to do is find yourself going through the motions and never getting anywhere. But there's only one way to heaven, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the door. He is the access. He is the only way. And I don't know who may hear today, may hear that message, whether you're 7, 17, 77. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, do so today. There's a song many of you know, and I thought of it when I prepared the message. It says, in vain man tried to enter heaven, for a door could not be found. Heaven's walls were great and high, all inside was safe and sound. God, who so loved mankind, who He had made and given breath, knew that to redeem them the price to pay was death. No search was made to find someone who would pay this dreadful price, because only one, God's only Son, could be heaven's only door. The angels knew once He was gone, a song would not be sung, for a door to heaven is of no use unless on earth it's hung. A door was hung at Calvary, and it's standing open wide. Eternal life is waiting for all who step inside. And what has become earth's greatest gain was heaven's greatest loss. Heaven's door was hung at Calvary, and it hinges on the cross. You and I today, we can enter heaven. We have access because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the door. A door gives access. But number two, a door gives security. A door gives security. I don't know about you, but one of the last things I do every night is I lock the door. I go by the back door and I make sure the bolt's turned. I go by the front door and I make sure the bolt is turned. Make sure the door's locked. Why? Security. Security. The Lord Jesus, and He goes on in this passage to talk about there's people who try to come. There's people who try to steal and to destroy. We know this, that there are wolves. By the way, there's many wolves, the Bible says, in sheep's clothing. You know, this thought hit me this week, and I hope you'll consider it too, right? When it comes to wolves in sheep's clothing, the sheep think the wolves are sheep. But the wolves know who the other wolves are. And I've seen that through my life too, right? But the Lord said this. He said, I am the door. There are many thieves and robbers, but if they're going to get to you, they have to go through me. Amen. That ought to make you want to rejoice a little bit more than you just did. The devil's the accuser. The devil's the destroyer. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But if he's going to get to you, believer, he's got to go through Christ. And I've got good news. He can't. He can't. The Lord said the moment you got saved, you are placed in His hand. And then He goes on to say, and you're in the Father's hand. What a blessing. There is no more secure place to be than in the Lord's hand today. And I'm thankful for Him today. I praise Him today that not only did He give me access because He's the door, but once I step through that door is my security. He is my guarantee. He is my promise that I have eternal life. There are some who don't believe that you can have eternal salvation. Well, unfortunately for them, they're wrong because Jesus promised it. He said, they that believe in me, I have given eternal life, and they shall never perish. If I could lose my salvation after having received it, then Jesus would have lied in that passage of Scripture. But He can't lie. And if He said I have eternal life, and if He said I'm not going to perish, guess what? I have eternal life and I'm not going to perish. Because what He promises, it's going to happen. And you and I today, He is our security. He is that door. He is that one. Glance at verse number 11. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. The fact is this, He's that door of security. And praise the Lord, He will never leave us nor forsake us. A door gives access. Number two, a door gives security. Number three, a door brings division and unity. So what do you mean by that? Division and unity. Well, a door separates. A door separates. There's times that someone will come and they'll ask to meet with me. We'll go in my office and we'll shut the door. We pull apart. When we shut these doors, we're praying that God would put a hedge about this place and what's going on in the world will be put aside for a while. You see, it separates us. And at the same time, it brings unity. So what do you mean? We shut those doors. What's going on out there, we've pulled away from. Amen? But what's going on in here has united us. Understand this. The Lord said it Himself. He did not come to give peace to the world. I know it's a different passage of Scripture. Luke, I believe it's chapter number 12. Luke chapter 12, let me see if I'm correct here. Verse number 51, yes. Luke chapter 12, verse 51 says, Suppose ye, Jesus said, that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. Did you catch that? Now, that doesn't mean God came to make everybody, cause everyone to be mad at each other. But what it means is this, and I hope that, child of God, you'll catch this today, that the world isn't going to like you if you're going to follow the Lord. It doesn't mean we can't live peaceably with men, but its fact is this, our ways are going to be contrary to some of their ways. Titus said that. We studied that as we're studying the book of Titus on Sunday nights. It says that we're not to give anything. The young men are not to allow their speech or their actions or their works to give any reason for those of the contrary part to say anything evil of. That means this, that they are not going to agree with you. Matter of fact, the Lord said you're not to marvel if the world hates you. But understand, it's not you that they hate. Christ said it. It's Christ in us that they hate. Because the only difference between me and you and anything that anybody else is out there doing wickedly is Christ in us. But it doesn't change the fact that He is the door. And the door brings things closer together and pushes some things away. And you and I as believers, the moment that we got saved, the moment we stepped through that door of salvation, there ought to be a difference between us and what we used to be. Amen. There ought to be a difference in the way we act, and the way we talk, and the way we dress, and the way we live, than the way we used to be. And it ought to draw us as believers closer together. And it ought to bring more of a separation from the world. And I shall not, by God's grace and mercy, quit preaching that right there. Because I know there's many who have put that aside in hopes of bringing everybody together and keeping everybody happy, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things become new. The Bible says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate. We're studying the book of Titus. Read it for yourself. When he changes over and says, now here's how a believer should act, in chapter number 2, you're going to find the phrase, good works, over and over and over again. He even makes it clear in the book of Titus, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. But you and I ought to live a life of good works. Our ways should be different and our actions should be different. Which means this, we don't walk around cussing. We don't walk around cursing. We don't walk around drinking. We don't walk around acting like a wicked world. We ought to be different. And if you're a member of this church and you don't want to live a different life, then you need to be honest enough and step aside and say, I don't want to be part of this body, because this body should be unified around the Word of God. And if you have no interest in living a holy life, then there's something wrong in your heart. I'm not asking and telling and making any demand. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. That we ought to be unified. And there's growth of maturity, and I get it. I'm not talking about those who haven't learned. I'm talking about this, that when you know better, and you've seen it in the Bible, but you say, I just don't want to do it, your heart is wrong. There ought to be something different in your life. Amen. We ought to have a desire. And the door, who's the door? He should unify us. And there also ought to be a separation. He said, well, how are they ever going to become more like how God wants them? Through the door. Amen. When they come to the door. A door gives access. A door gives security. A door will bring division and unity. I'll wrap this up real quick. A door can give peace. See, what do you mean the door gives peace? I do it all the time. At school, there's many times, most of the time, the door to my office is shut. It isn't because I don't want to be bothered. It isn't because, you know, I'm annoyed at children all the time. No, I shut the door because they're repeating multiplication tables. They're saying their spelling words. They're, you know, going through the Declaration of Independence. They're, you know, going, traveling down the hallway. This and that's going on. And so I shut the door, put all that away. To bring some quietness. Because when the door gets shut, the volume goes down. And you and I, many times in this world, things get pretty hectic. Things can become overwhelming. Screams of the world, the temptations of the world, the trials of the world, they're right there. There's many times it's just a good thing to go to the Lord and enter into that closet, shut the door, and allow His peace to overwhelm us. The door gives peace. No, this is simple. But a door has to be used. And you say, what do you mean by that? That door right there, it gives you access. Amen? I don't know what's going on outside, but it pushes it away. I have no idea what's going on outside that door, right? But there's a door there. The door brings some division and unity and peace. But I'm talking to those today who are not saved. I'm talking to those who are saved today who are missing that peace and missing that growth and all these things that we talked about. As much as this door's right here, it doesn't help me unless I use the door. Knowing that Jesus is the way to heaven, does about as good for you to get outside as knowing there's a door over here. That make sense yet? Now, how do you get outside? Come on, man. You're back. He's not been here in a while. Ready? I know I haven't prepped this, and I think you can handle it. Ready? Go outside. Go ahead. I'll let you back in. Now, the fact is this. He wasn't getting outside until he used the door. And you and I, you can sit here in this pew, you can sit here in the church today, you can know about heaven, you can know about salvation, you can know about it, but until you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, sitting there in a pew and knowing about it will do you no good. But until you come and say, Lord, I surrender myself, I trust in you as my Savior, you are the way, and I choose to put my faith in you. Otherwise, it's just a door. But when you come to Him, He changes everything. If you're saved today, and you miss that peace, you're saved today, and that separation's not there in your life, you need to run to the door today. You need to go to the door today and say, Lord, I know you're the door. And I just give you this last closing thought. We talked about Noah last week. Praise the Lord for the door, amen? But there came a time when the door shut, not to be opened again. Right now, that door is open. Right now, that door is for you. But there's coming a day. 2 Thessalonians teaches it. There's coming the day that if you choose this morning to reject the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I don't want Him, I choose not, maybe I'll do it later, I just don't want to get saved, and the Lord should come back, and He could come back today. And you have chosen to reject Him, the door is shut. The Bible says you'll believe some sort of lie, the door is shut. That's a hard thought. It is, but I have good news. The door's open. Run to Him today. Run to Him today. I want to go to heaven! You have to go through the door. Jesus said, I am the door. Would you bow your heads with me this morning?